Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson. On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Good day. You are listening to a podcast. But this isn't just any podcast. Just any podcast couldn't do this. Or this. What the? This is the podcast. Starring the Teds. Starring the Ted. Starring the Ted Smith and Cobb. Ha-ha! The podcast starts. You better wear a helmet now.
All right. Welcome everybody back to a brand new episode of the podcast. I'll be the Ted Smith, host of the air podcast. Greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
Beaming in from Austin, I think, but it looks like you might be in a popcorn shop. He goes running to Cobb. Cobb, what's going on?
I don't even know how to respond to that. You're the dog. I'm pumped up. Everybody's dogs. Let's get it.
All right. Coming in from the desert. You know what? I don't know if Matt's warmer than I am right now. MCTP, Matt, comedy producer. What's up, Matt?
Man, it's good to see you, boys. I'm a little bit glazed to the point where Cobb made his virtual background the popcorn shop. After a while, I just got used to it. I was like, I can't believe Cobb's casting from his shop. Like, this is so cool.
Dude,
I saw him switch the background before we started.
That's awesome, dude.
It was 60 degrees here today.
Whoa.
Golly.
Nice. Yeah,
I know. That's what I was like. Am I the warmest one?
I think we were in the 70s.
What? Yeah, I don't know what Austin I can look, but
I don't really check.
Neither do I. Ted, it's so funny that you say that, though, because I was just telling my dad. He was complaining about the weather in Seattle, and I was like, I can always tell the weather in Seattle. I don't check it, but I check our popcorn shop numbers every day. It's like, you can always tell the weather, but today you're saying it was nice and we were actually slow. So for the first time, it's failed me.
It was still kind of overcast, but this weekend's supposed to be like mid 50s and sunny. And we have a goddamn 5 p.m. Seahawks divisional round playoff game. Like, I called my buddy Sean and I was like, hey, we might have to table the pot of chili for this playoff game. I was like, it's going to be sunny in January in the 50s. Like, we should grill.
Oh, yeah. Oh, dude. Yeah. Grill out.
Yeah. It's
65 down here for what it's worth.
All right. All right. Thought maybe some weird world where I actually got you. Actually, before we get into the Seahawks stuff, I do want to say this, and I'm going to sound like a super old man from Seattle. They are f***ing up the traffic again, boys.
<Uh-oh>. Dude.
It took me 50 minutes to get to work today. 50
Five
minutes.
0
5-0.
And what does that take if there's zero traffic? Just for reference for people not from the area.
15 tops.
Oh, yeah, dude. So it's so funny that you say that because I heard about that project from two different people. Aren't they narrowing the Ship Canal Bridge down to like two lanes or something for 18 months?
Correct. And because
okay,
they
I just wanted to make sure I wasn't the first person telling you that. That's why I was tense.
Like, till the end of the year. And then
oh my God.
Right. So the express lanes now never go south. They're just going north because northbound I-5 is where they have the Ship Canal Bridge closed down to a lane or something. So it just backs up on the north end. You can see it in my eyes, boys. It took me half an hour. Well, Matt hasn't been. Matt, have you been to this house?
No.
All right. Cobb, you've been here. I live so close to the exit. It literally took me like 30 minutes just to get on to like on the exit today. It was backed up all the way down Lake City Way. I was just like, you got to be kidding me. So I thought leaving, I was like, all right, I'll leave, you know, a little bit, you know, like half hour earlier, right? Then I was like, I'll leave 40 minutes earlier. I left my house at 9:20 and got to work at 10:10. I was still late. I was like, 40 minutes didn't cut it.
Wait, you go into work that early? Don't you guys start at 2?
2. Yeah. Yeah,
for some reason, I always thought you went into work at like noon, and I was like, that's what was scaring me about this. Is I was like, wow, that off peak, and you're still hitting crazy traffic.
Usually, I'm in there around 11:30. You're not wrong, but we were supposed to tape something this morning with a guest I really wanted to talk to. So it was like infuriating to my car, and I was like, you've got to be kidding me. But because there's no express lanes, basically everybody's on the other streets, and then there you get one accident, and it just stops, and it's just like, you're going to be doing this project till the end of the year.
Well, and you know there's going to be a delay too. It's Washington. But what I was going to say is there's so many people like playing the world's smallest violin for you right now. They're like, motherfucker, I commute from Tukwila at 7 a.m., you know, or whatever it is. It's like, at least you're off peak. But that is going to be nasty. When I heard about that project, I was like, dude, that is the ultimate. I don't know that I could find a worse choke point in Seattle. I mean, there's like essentially a river that flows east to west. It's not a river, but whatever, that cuts it off. And there's only five bridges. And that is the biggest. That represents more than 50% of the lanes that go over that body of water.
Correct. And I get it. People travel further than I do. It was just very frustrating for a short commute. I got to take the light rail.
I was just like, about to say, you know how we said year of the dog? I think it's the year of the train, my guy.
Yeah, I'm back on it. I'm just like, this is unbelievable.
Wow. So yeah, that is unbelievable.
I just had to bitch about that. I don't even want to know what's going to happen in the summertime. Like, just forget commuting to work. Just go in to do stuff on the weekends.
On that same stretch of highway, not once, but twice, I have been in bumper-to-bumper traffic at 10 p.m. at night. That's when it hit peak for me. They did say Seattle now has the second worst traffic in the country.
Yeah, well, over the weekend, because they had everything closed down, I just stayed on the north side, right? So it wasn't a big deal. And then, yeah, the last 2 days just had been a nightmare getting to work. I was like, God damn. And I know they told me. I didn't think it'd be that bad. So,
well, and also, like, I don't understand how these projects last forever and go way over budget. Like, I don't know. Maybe I'm a conspiracy theorist, but it's feeling like there was a big lawsuit, that LA company, that they kept bidding projects at, like, you know, a third of what it was going to actually cost. And then they would just like keep raising it. Cause once like cities were in, they couldn't get out, you know, it's like an LA tunneling company, but they'd done it all over the world. It's like, they've got you by the balls, man. You know?
Yeah.
What are they even doing to that bridge? Sorry.
I don't know. It's the Revive I-5. But like, you're like, oh, it's a couple months. That's why I called my buddy freaking out today. I was like, I'm going to be late. And then he was like, I hate to tell you, you know, and I go, I fucking know. It's till the end of the year. It is what, January, what is today, the 12th or something? Just like, oh, yeah. I know. You know what I mean? I'm knee deep in it.
This is my world. Honestly, shout out Rob. He made the right move. Got out while the getting was good. He just moved to London for people to listen. That's awesome.
Man.
So I do want to talk Seahawks. If you're coming to the game on Saturday, I would leave super early and get down there, or park at one of the new light rail stops, unless you're tailgating, and just hop on the light rail. South End people, you'll be fine. You don't have to come this far north, but God, it's a nightmare.
Yeah, dude, I'm just really doing the math now. There's, what, 15 lanes that cross that body of water, and seven of them are involved in that each way?
Yeah. Yeah.
Holy shit. Whoa, dude. Oh my God, bro. May God have mercy on Ted's soul this year.
Damn.
Yeah.
You know what? It's going to work out in your favor, dude. You'll be a train guy. You'll get a little more downtown energy, which you've been needing. You know, a little alley cat vibe. It'll be good.
Yeah. Trust me. I know. Monday's a holiday. I'm like, I was like, kind of want to go down to the market. Definitely just taking the light rail and walking around the city. It's not going to be raining. Like, I'm good to go.
Wait, did you say Sunday?
Monday's a holiday. It's Martin Luther King Day.
Oh, that is an interesting piece of information. I'm very happy you said. We were going to do a free popcorn giveaway on Sunday for Gourmet Popcorn Day, National Gourmet Popcorn Day. But it's actually on Monday. I didn't know people had it off. Maybe we'll do both. Nice, dude. Thank you.
Ooh, maybe I'll pop in there Friday so I have some gourmet popcorn on Sunday.
Well, on Friday, it's not free. For you, it's free all the time. Yeah, actually, if people listening want to stop by, you can get away with it on Saturday. We decided we would honor it, but Sunday and maybe now Monday, but definitely Sunday, two free bags of pink popcorn at Cobb's. We're just giving away for free for National Popcorn Day.
Oh, nice.
Yep.
Yeah, I usually try to get down there during the Christmas season. I just didn't get down to the market, but I usually like to spend like a couple hours down there bumming around. Maybe pop into, what's it, Lowell's? Get like some seafood.
Yeah. I love Lowell's. And sorry to be this guy and be all business, but just for people listening, this is the week of January 13th, if you're listening to this later, 2026. So you don't get like random people throughout the year like, you said Saturday, man. I don't know. That's just the, yeah.
All right, so we got to talk a little bit about the Seahawks. Matt, Cobb, how we feeling? I don't know. We got San Francisco coming in, divisional round. They're on a short week. Seahawks are a 7.5-point favorite. So Vegas thinks we should win. I'm just nervous still. You got to play that team a third time.
Matt?
Yeah, I was watching the games this weekend and like thinking about all the potential outcomes. And I think it first kind of dawned on me when the Panthers looked like they might beat the Rams for a little bit there. And I was like, great, f*** the Rams. I hope they lose. I hate them. But I kind of wanted to beat them, you know? And then I was like, I wasn't sure about the Niners and the Eagles. And I was like, if the Rams lose here and then the Niners lose to the Eagles, like that, you know, that's just not as fun. I feel like this is a more fun outcome. I want to end the 49ers season. And and then if hopefully the Rams too. Like, I just think that's the most fun path to the Super Bowl. It puts a big exclamation mark on the end of everything else they did this season. And yeah, their playoff games are all going to be tough, but yeah, if you can knock off both division rivals on the way to the Super Bowl at the Niners Stadium, that would be so sick.
Wait, the game is at 49ers Stadium?
The Super Bowl this year is at the Niners Stadium.
Oh, God. Yeah. I was like, wait, what? Like, okay, that scrambled me. You know, I mean, obviously I'm a college football guy, so I've been tracking that, but what I would say is people thought that having played Indiana before, Oregon was going to have an advantage, and they got smoked. I think it doesn't matter if you've played a team before this year, and I think it'd be nice to have a signature win for the Seahawks. My only worry is that they win by so much that they're cocky heading into the next week. That's my pick.
So here's the thing. I've been reading some of the like what's the one guy, Hawk Blogger or whatever. Like, I like him.
Yeah.
Right. Now I'll admit it. I listen to other sports stations in town, right? I don't just have it locked into ours. And I forget who was saying it, but they were just like, here's the thing about the Seahawks team. It's like, they are so well versed and they just stick to like what they talk about. It's about team. It's about the next little thing. It's like, they talk some trash, but he was like, they don't give out, like, it's not like a rah rah or we have to do this. He was like, it's almost boring how professional and just about their business they are, which to me I took as a very good sign.
Yeah, they got they got composure, it seems like. And you know, it's a fun team. I know they're not like quite as popular as like the peak LOB, but like hopefully people have started paying more attention. But they seem really connected, and they're really deep, and Mike McDonald's just such an amazing coach. I'm excited to see, you know, what he can do in the playoffs against Kyle Shanahan and potentially Sean McVay. And you know, I just think they got the talent, and it's gonna be real fun Saturday. But I'm very antsy for it. Did you see my hoodie? This is a Mob Ties one. I saw Gray Zabel wearing it on a press conference.
Oh, nice.
I love that. Mission over bullshit. And it says, brotherhood, truth, work, violence around it.
Jesus.
When I saw violence, I was like, give me one of those.
I like, too, they started calling the defense the dark side.
Yeah. Yeah. That defense is so sick, dude.
I know. And it is. Also, again, I don't want to take credit, but, you know, I did talk to Coach, you know, in the wintertime, gave him a couple pointers.
I mean, look what he's done with it.
I know, right? If they make it to the Super Bowl and they throw a slant to Cooper Kupp, that was the last thing I said to him. I said, "All right, I'm getting a little drunk. Throw the slant more." And he's like, "All right."
Wow.
There's no
Wait.
way he would remember that, but I just like, oh, he listened.
Dude, he's going to have that one memory and be like, the slant. But then the other part of him is going to be like, no, give it to Marshawn.
Right? Do I give it to Charbonnet K9 or run or throw that slant? Like, that
Oh,
guy
well, I
seemed
just.
pretty confident after that shot of tequila.
Well, I know, but like our city was scarred after the no handoff to Marshawn. It's like, how can you
Oh.
th to throw the slant in a Super Bowl? Tough
Yeah,
in this town.
you're right. They're probably never going to throw a slant to get in the Super Bowl to win
No,
it.
dude, no. Wait, so
Or
okay, boys. Yeah.
nobody would ever think he'd have the balls to run that
Yeah, dude.
play.
It's like they think you don't have the nuts for it, man. Slow, throw the slant, Ted
I mean,
Smith.
look, I don't want to talk out of school. If they match up against the Patriots and they win on a slant pattern to win a Super Bowl, and that would be unbelievable.
Dude, wait, so I did want to ask you guys, do you guys watch a lot more Seahawks than I do? Do we have a chance of winning this thing? Could we be Super Bowl champions this year,
Oh,
or is that just crazy
100%.
talk?
No. They are legit. I mean, they are that good. I think, look, I mean, look, credit to Thrill and Miles, right? They keep saying, like, they're like, you and Mike got to chill out, man. Like, you guys are watching it as super, like, big Seahawks fans, but they're like, from the outside observer, they're like, Seahawks are the best team in the league right now. And I'm like, you're right. So they do have a great, legit shot. I mean, they have the best odds, power rankings. I guess they just haven't had that many, like, runaway victories that were easy games where you just, for me, I just get a little nervous and it's like, but that's what that team does. Defense, run the ball and kind of grind it out.
Dude, they have won so many different ways over the course of the season. And, it still feels like I haven't seen it all click at once. Like the running game's been great in the second half of the season. And in the first half of the season, like JSN and Sam Darnold were putting up historic numbers. And if we can have that run game from the second half of the season and the pass game from the first half of the season and our defense playing the way they play, no one would stand a chance. I'm not saying they can put that all together in the playoffs week after week after week, but if they went on a run where all those things were clicking and that special teams, they're untouchable. But, Darnold's looked a little shaky while the run games looked great and vice versa before.
Dude, so what you're saying is you're hoping there's a little whisper left of Pete Carroll peak at the right time.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. And I'm just so much more invested in this club now than I was in like 13 and 14. So that's why I think I'm more nervous. Like in 13, it was easy. It was like, oh, they're the best team in the league. Like they're gonna dominate. And same thing in 14, right? They were just rolling. So it was like, yeah, of course they're gonna make the Super Bowl. I still remember that Packers game where they came back and won in the NFC Championship. Like I've told this story before, but I've been on one of my meditation retreats, right? So I'd spent what, just 48 hours or whatever sitting in a yurt meditating. And then that next day, you had this kind of strict diet leading up to it. So the next day, I remember I ordered sushi and showed up right before halftime. And the guy is like, man, this isn't good. And I just was like, it'll be fine, brother. Like the Hawks are gonna
Zen
win.
Ted,
And he was like,
Zen
are you
Smith.
serious? And I was like, yeah, man. I hammered that sushi down, took a nap, and I woke up. And it was like there was like two plays I watched and they won that game. And I was like, see? No, I was never worried. But
Get in
now
touch with the chi, man.
I'm a lot more invested and I haven't been on one of my retreats in a minute. So I'm a lot more anxious.
Kwan. Embrace the Kwan. That's awesome, dude.
But no, they are. I mean, they are the odds-on favorite to win. And you know what? I got to keep reminding myself too. Just it's just so fun this time of year to have your team involved in big games like this.
Oh, yeah. Dude, 100%. And, frankly, the college playoffs have been a little bit of a letdown. So Seahawks have been like a nice, I don't want to say backup, but like a nice, additional, what is that? I don't know. It's
Oh.
been nice.
Indiana, I was watching with the mayor on
Oh, they're
Friday night.
crisp. Crisp.
Crisp. It was bad. I mean, Indiana just has been the best team all year. They're just head and shoulders to me above anybody. Miami's very good, but Indiana just looks like a force.
Dude, and there's just no chinks in their armor. There's no flaws in the game. Like, okay, I will give people that Oregon kind of shot themselves in the foot with a couple of those plays early near their own end zone, but it doesn't even matter. Indiana is just, they're exceptional at every aspect of the game, and they're like humble, chill. It's like old school Alabama, dude. They just take it play by play, forget the past. It's like, it's tough to beat a team like that. And with a Heisman quarterback, obviously.
Yeah. I mean, I was texting our personal friend and I was like, you should tell your wife to leave at halftime. This game's over. And he's like, I know. She's a sideline reporter. He's like, she could make it home in time if she left now. And I was like, I don't think they're coming back.
Yeah. That was, yeah. Wow.
I will give a shout out to Ole Miss. That game, they were the best team to watch in the college playoff because the games have just been good. Like the Miami game was good. Yeah, but Indiana's just beating them. And then college football, I'm with Cobb. I love it. It's my favorite thing in the world. They got to speed this up because now you had an amazing weekend of NFL wildcard weekends. Like, I almost forgot that championship is Friday night.
That's Friday of this week?
I mean, Monday night.
Oh.
So you're going to have 2 weekends of NFL playoffs and then play that championship game. It's just like, I don't know. They gotta figure out something. Like college football should end. Like, you know what? I'm stealing this from my brother, but every year the College World Series is played in Omaha, Nebraska, right? Just say, look, college football ends on January 1st. Start the playoffs early. Championship games at the Rose Bowl on January 1st.
Yeah. I mean, it's just always the money, you know?
Yeah. Well, there's nobody in charge.
Well, and NFL's the same way, right? They added 4 preseason games and, you know.
Yeah, you just wake up one day and the Super Bowl's in February. You're like, what the hell, dude?
Yeah, honestly, it is weird. The same strategy as like Meta and I don't know, TikTok. It's like, how much of people's attention can we own? And they're like, let's own half the year instead of, you know, whatever. It's like flooding the zone.
Dude,
I don't like it, Ted. I'm with you. January 1st. That's it.
Yeah.
The NFL does a good job of the year round sport thing. Like,
they do.
I read
they do. Here's my thing: is I'm still just a sports fan overall, so I like the different seasons. Right, like football's the best, but I don't care about spring football. And like an Englishman told me once, he was like, "Dude, part of the reason I watch more rugby in England is he's like, I just hate that the Premier League takes up the entire year." You know, you have the summer transfer window and this and that. And I'm kind of with them. Like, I watch the draft, but like, I don't need to be sitting at home going crazy over an off-season mini camp or talking about this and that. You know what I mean? Like, baseball's on, basketball's in the playoffs, hockey's in the playoffs. You know, we got the Winter Olympics coming up.
Yeah.
Well, he didn't even show up to mini camp.
That was me this cool season. Too. I feel kind of vindicated that I invested so much time in the off season. You didn't mention Hawk Blogger. He just goes year round. There's always stuff to talk about. And like, I was just like, dude, you know, I just really liked the draft. I liked the rookies. I liked the young developing guys. And like, I feel like, hey, that wasn't a complete waste of time. Look at them, the number one seed. Like, I knew there was something special going on there. I'm glad I paid attention to that. But in reality, it's like, what the? I placed my bet on them to win the division in like August. Like, I was so convinced that they had what it took and the odds were so bad.
You put in the work.
Yeah. I don't know if I brought this up, but this summer, I can't remember if it was Camp Cash, but I was definitely at Brad and Terrence's house. And I was talking to some of our other mutual friends. And I was like, Vegas has the Seahawks over under wins at 8.5. I go, hammer that over. And they were like, what? I was like, they're going to win at least 10 games, probably 11. And they were like, you think? So this conversation goes on for like half an hour around a fire. And then kind of like Matt, I have to remind myself sometimes not everybody watches and pays as much attention to this stuff as I do. But I got kind of frustrated. And finally, I stood up and I went, I don't think you guys watch football like I do. And just walked off.
Damn, Ted pulling rank.
That's so good.
Because then we got into arguments about individual players. I was just like, that was like, that's just wrong. Like, you're just spouting off a certain stat, but that guy's doing so much for the team. Of course he's not going to have the best stats. He's a f***ing defensive tackle.
You don't even know ball, exactly.
Dude, it's like Max Strong, man. He blocked like 11, like for 11 seasons of 1,000-yard rushers.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, he doesn't get the credit because like he didn't have a ton of yards, but like he was like really, really consistent.
Yeah, and some of those D linemen are never going to have a bunch of sacks or a bunch of tackles, but if he can take a double team and leave that linebacker free to roam, he's doing his job.
Yeah, or he's shutting down half the field and they have to roll the opposite way all the time. It's like, yeah, they're playing away from him.
I mean, Ted, you know what the difference this year is and why they're the number one seed, right? They're winning at the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball.
Well, they got to win in the trenches.
And you could make the argument, truthfully, that the Seahawks, the offensive line still isn't even that great. Right, Zabel's been a huge addition. Cross is back, but like you look at some, like as far as all their offensive lines go, it's just like when you watch the Rams, I feel like Stafford just stands back there for as long as he wants. And even for us, for the Seahawks, it's hard to get to him. But like some poor Sam's under fire sometimes.
Yeah, it's a huge improvement from years past, and like you can literally just see it even on the broadcast. But yeah, they've stepped that up big time. But yeah, I think it's like when you see some of those like super elite teams, like the Bears have a really good O-line too. They poured a ton of money into that. And like there was just some lanes against the Packers where I was like, damn, dude, look at that. Like,
yeah. And
when
again,
you watch a really elite line, it's fun.
As much as I can say, I don't want the NFL taking up the whole sports calendar. Credit to the machine. Great year of football. I could not get over some of those games this weekend. I mean, that bar I was at Saturday night was a lot of Packers fans. And just watching the end of that, and there was a couple Bears fans in there. And I was just like, the one girl, I was just like, good for you. She was like, what? I was like, she showed up in like the second quarter, had on a fly jacket. And you know me, I was like, that's a great jacket. She's like, thanks. I stole it from my husband. I was like, all right, fair. At the end of the game, I was like, hey, credit to you. I go, when you walked in here, it looked like you were to get, like, your team didn't have a shot. And then at the end, she was like standing up screaming. It's like, yeah, enjoy it. I mean, even think about when you were kids, right? We all played sports growing up. How many championships did you win? Even like Little League or something. Like, it's rare.
That's rare.
Oh, all right. Yeah, weather up here has been nice. Nice and sunny. It's going to be sunny this weekend. I think the last thing I'm going to ask you about playoff football, where are you guys at on watching it? Do you prefer going to a bar, a lot of people, house? Like, what do you guys think?
Sorry, I'm still stuck on the last thing you said. Do we prefer what? Watching a where we're watching.
Like, it's a big game. So, like, I've had a couple offers, and I'm just like, no, I want to watch it at my buddy with, like, five of us. I want to focus in on this one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I see both sides. I mean, there is certainly, we're certainly at another level. It's not a casual endeavor. It's like you want to be with people who care about the game. And yeah, it's a little extra special. For me, when it comes down to it, I go one of two places. Either Little Woodrow's, which we've talked about to the end Ooh. And back on this cast, which is the Seahawks bar, and it's like a block from the house. Or low key, if I'm feeling more low key, it's cold outside because Little Woodrow's is mostly outdoors. The Tavern hits. So that's my other staple. It's a bar from the 1850s, still running, and a sports bar. It's sick. They have like legit stuff from like the 1920s that was like posted there of like their baseball team in the 1920s, their baseball team in the 1930s. There, it's like, honestly, it's pretty sick.
I mean, I feel like a 7 p.m. kick for you for that Seahawks game. You got to pop into Little Woodrow's on Saturday evening just for at least a little bit.
Yeah. Wait, Saturday evening. That's
Seahawks play at 5 o'clock on Saturday here, 8 o'clock on the East Coast. So isn't that?
Oh, that's literally perfect, dude. Yes. I'm going to a concert after. That's yes. I will start my night at Little Woodrow's watching the Hawks. And then I'm going to Concourse. Which for people who don't know is just an airplane hangar by the airport that they throw massive concerts in. It's so sick. Wait, so Ted, what's your go-to watch for a big game?
So this one I'm gonna watch at my buddy's house. I was toying with going and tailgating a little bit and then heading to his house for the game, but it's gonna be so nice out. I was like, let's just grill during the first game. And then I'm trying to
You grilling
remember.
dogs? What are we doing?
Oh, I'm making 3 grand at least on Saturday.
Let's go.
For the record, nobody knows this. MCTP sent us a picture last night of two hot dogs and some broccoli. Just like, oh, stack of cheese.
Yeah, it was like 2K or whatever. It's like, dude, yeah. Also, we've been talking about dogs. You're the dog in our little text thread off cast. And today I was like chasing a guy down an alley to take a photo of the back of his shirt to send to you guys because it said he was this giant, like it was a the one of the ugliest shirts I've ever seen. But it was like three dogs on the back, and it said like in these giant like gothic letters, like this is where dogs go to eat. And finally, I just got too embarrassed. I was like, you know what? I don't need to take a photo of this guy's shirt.
Bro, you guys gotta check out that song I put in the thread this weekend too. I was losing service, so I couldn't like emphasize how sick it is. But it's called "Big Dogs" by a band named Dinosaur Pileup, and it's my anthem for the year for sure.
Yeah.
Nice. I'm a who let the dogs out guy.
It is funny when I call my buddy, he goes, should we go fancy like brats and this and that? I was like, hot dogs. We're going straight. Let's just fire up the hot dogs, get the grill going.
Dude, you're like Will Ferrell in whatever that Fury movie. You're like, we're gonna skate to one song and one song only. Dogs. Put those dogs on the grill. God damn, it's 2026.
Gotta reach out to Hebrew National.
Yeah, dude, what ballpark, Hebrew National. I'm trying to remember which dogs I liked, but honestly, I was a Costco Polish guy, but RIP. One of the greatest to ever play the game.
They were bad burps, though.
Oh, yeah, awful.
Yeah. I
But
remember once
dude, you've
playing
got
a
to pay
round
the cost to be the boss, big guy.
I remember playing a round of golf and fired down a Polish dog with sauerkraut at like 11 a.m. and then tried to go out that night and just drinking beers. Like, oh, sauerkraut and a Polish dog was the wrong call.
Hey, Smith, nobody rides for free.
But if anybody's looking to invest in the podcast, whether it's ballpark, Hebrew National, we're down with most hot dog brands.
I'd like a like an indie upstart dog brand.
Yeah, like a local dog.
I just the only one I can't do is Bar S. If you know,
Oh,
you know.
if I come into work and there's an email, Bar S is what's the sponsor? I'd be like, we love Bar S.
If you've ever like the only people who know what Bar S hot dogs are people who have been broke in their life. You know what I mean? Like my wife does not know they exist.
Quick question. If during the course of a game, no bun, I just raw dog a dog, does that count as
Jesus.
$1,000 or is that like 500?
I'll allow it. Feels good. Like for the, you know, for the purposes of the larger game, no, but like on a Seahawks game day, like, yeah, man, let it ride. You got to get extra protein for the scrapyard anyway.
All right, let's take a break on that note. We'll be back with some emails. What's Matt in the cop topic?
Hello, it's Lena Dunham. I host a podcast called The C Word with my dearest friend and historian of bad behavior, Alyssa Bennett.
What is up?
It's a chat show about women whose society is called crazy.
We're going to be rediscovering the stories of women's society dismissed by calling them mad, sad, or just plain bad.
Listen to and follow The C Word with Lena Dunham and Alyssa Bennett, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Thanks as always to our sponsors. And remember, things get stinky, call Pinkies, Pinkies Plumbing. God forbid something bad happens to you. Don't let those big for-profit insurance companies take advantage of you. Call our buddies Ken and Donnie over at the Advocates, man. Get yourself straightened out. They'll take on the insurance bullies. Mr. Cobb, do we have some emails?
Honestly, that was a great spot. I
Yeah.
was just in stunned silence. happy birthday, Ted. Just waking up in France on Christmas morning, waiting for the family to wake up here in, wow, I wish I was more sophisticated in Provence. Maybe. 9 hours ahead here, so back in the States, it's still Ted's birthday. How do I know? Because I checked. Is it tedsbirthday.com, of course. Love the additional content added. You guys make me laugh. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year's to the three of you. Au revoir, Tony.
How do you say dog in French?
I got it in Spanish. Pedo.
Pedo, yeah.
I don't know in French. Matt, yeah. Are we just a bunch
spent
of
a month
apes
there? I don't know.
He didn't even like it.
Oh, dude, I love
they
it.
Don't, they don't speak French in the Paris and Las Vegas.
Looks like it's Chien or Chienne, something like that. I don't know how to say French words. It's C-H-I-E-N, which means nothing to me.
Chien.
Ted, I can hear your little your phone doing it. Say it, Ted. What did it tell you? Chien.
Chien.
We are, just, the three of us are so unevolved, it is comical. Hey, fellas, big ups to the greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
All the land.
In response to the cop topic, most unusual thing to happen at my job, I work in podcasting as well, in particular the true crime side of things. I've got to talk to a lot of interesting people and even made some unusual friendships over the years. But the most unusual was when Jake Tapper's people reached out to me last year and asked me to interview him for his new book. For people who don't know, Jake Tapper is the bar rescue guy who's like, classic line is, shut it down! Shut it down! He'll go in and like shut down bars and then rescue them.
I thought Jake Tapper was the guy from CNN.
Perhaps there are multiple Jake Tappers. How about I Google?
I thought it was a guy from The Daily Show.
Jesus Christ.
Thanks for chiming in wrongly.
All right. I'm seeing a face of an American journalist.
Yeah, that's Jake Tapper. Bar Rescue.
What's that guy's name?
Is John somebody, isn't it?
It's John Taffer.
Yeah.
Jake Tapper and John Taffer. Okay, don't shut it down then. My bad. And you know what? To John Taffer's credit, he knows what he's talking about when it comes to bars. I can verify. It was really outside of my wheelhouse, but I seized on the opportunity and ended up having a great chat with him. And by coincidence, the episode ended up coming out on the 10th anniversary of my very first episode being released. Anyhow, thanks to you dudes, and keep on hounding in the year of the dog. Arrow. Cheers, Mikey Doves.
I wonder what podcast Mikey's doing, man. We like to talk about it.
Mikey, let us know. Wait, so who is Jake Tapper? Who are we talking about?
He's been on CNN forever. And then last year... what he had a book on Biden. He's got a couple good books on like military stuff and veterans too.
Whoa, he's got a lot of books.
Yeah,
he's got like 6 books. That's prolific.
Oh, it was Jordan Klepper was the Daily Show guy I was thinking of.
So we had God damn it, boys, we are literally the wealth of misinformation.
That's unbelievable. So the guy from Bar Rescue, like, pretty sure it's the guy from CNN. Is it the guy from The Daily Show? Just also, for the guy from CNN.
Also, boys, the confidence. Like, I was so, it's like, yeah, shut it down. I know.
I once was at a bar in Vegas, and it was so well set out. Like, I took a picture of it and tagged John Taffer. I was like, you'd be proud of this place. And he liked it, you know, so it's pretty cool.
That's cool. I love little moments like that. The internet brings us closer together. Unusual job experience. At my first professional job after college, I worked for a very small family business. One day I'm working late and the boss's daughter comes by. Smash cut. That's not what I thought that was going to say. Smash cut to an hour later and she's given me her number. The next week, she's in my apartment doing fun stuff to me. Then the next 3 months was a roller coaster. I became the boyfriend. We're going to be together forever. And she cheated on me and moved on to the next guy. This was her normal pattern, so my boss was completely unfazed, almost like he expected it to happen at some point. Then it was over. I both strongly recommend and do not recommend dating a hairdresser. All the land. Isaac.
All the land.
Ted's got some experience in that department.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. No one will know what we're talking about, guys. That whole intro is getting cut off.
Well, and if you think, well, it's different because she's an esthetician, they still work in the shop. So just put that out there.
All right. This is a long one, but it's the guy's first time emailing. So I'll get through as much of it. Oh, dude, I remember reading this. This is actually sick. Okay. Boys, just buckle in for a long one. Stop me if you want to make some commentary. This guy has a very cool job. To the greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
All the land.
Long-time listener, first-time email. I've been listening for many years. I used to live in Seattle for 12 years and moved out here to Idaho after my wife and I got married in 2011 and now listen to the podcast on my way to work and stream the men's room while at work. The unusual part of my job is my job. I work as a chef for a private outfitter slash hunting lodge in northern central Idaho between Lewiston and Missoula. I will name the place where I work at the end of the email, but just to keep the anonymity... Gotcha. No problem, man. We have a variety of guests that come here. We've had a goalie from a local NHL team, a famous country singer, the creators of a very strong canned cocktail brand, and different owners of million-dollar-plus companies. But then we also get regular people who come out here as a bucket list item. Our different hunts range from $3,400 for a backcountry fishing trip to $11,000 for a big game hunt. Most of our bird hunts average around $7,000 per person for a three-day hunt. We have groups that come and book the entire 14-room lodge for a private group hunt. I've also learned while working here that you can't charge their full bill of over $100,000 on a credit card, but you can charge it multiple times with lower amounts, and it clears with no problem. The amount of money people spend on hunts here is wild. We also have single guests come multiple times throughout the year for big game hunts and then come for wing shooting. We've had helicopters that land on the side yard to drop off guests. We have a local airstrip that is also close by, so more of our higher-end clientele will land their private planes there to avoid the airport. We mainly guide upland bird hunts, pheasants, chukar, Hungarian partridge on our private 4,000-acre property. But we also guide mountain lions, nice. Bear, white-tailed deer, mule deer, and turkey hunts in the national forest, Ted's favorite. And yes, I added that. I don't know why. And yes, I get to cook with the critters that they harvest. I've cooked and eaten mountain lion many times, and it's delicious. It's like a very lean pork. I also get to go into the backcountry and cook for the guests out of a canvas wall tent. Everything for those camps has to be weighted and balanced so it can be transported to camp on horseback. The last backcountry elk camp I went to was in early October, and it was at 6,500 feet, and we had 8 inches of snow overnight. I'll include a pic of it. Our lodge will attend different sports and shows over the year. We're regulars at the Dallas Safari Club and Sporting Classics International Trade Shows. A lot of our guests come from California and Texas, so I'm fairly sure that some of our guests and possibly the owner of the company have golfed at the country club that Matt works at. Sorry if that email went long, but thanks for putting out the greatest podcast in all the land and keeping me entertained while driving to work. LARP
on. All the land. Todd, that's gangster, dude. I wonder what he did before that. Like, he must have already been cooking or a chef somewhere, right?
I don't know. Yeah, he doesn't say, but I will say he included some photos. This place is gorgeous. I mean, there's a reason they call it Big Sky Country. And he also listed, like, some more details about just cool people who have been there. I'll read you guys off air, but pretty rad. Thanks for the email, man. This is incredible.
That is kind of gangster. It's wild to think about people like that listening to our podcast.
Yeah. Dude, it is. Like, that's a crazy job, too. You're just like, yeah, I'm going to go cook an 800-pound elk at 6,000 feet. It's like, bro, what? It's like, I can barely make a pancake at my house. You're about to chop apart an elk?
Well, and they've already butchered it. It's fresh. And then you have a guy there like him that knows what he's doing cooking-wise. Like, that has to be so good.
He might be the guy butchering it, dude. We don't even know.
Yeah, we don't know.
No, it's like, dude, just one of those, a leg of an elk is probably like, what's 500 pounds? 500 pounds of meat, dude. Think about that. That's you know, so much. That's all three of us combined, probably, dude.
It's also crazy to think about, as Cobb's talking about this, behind them is a video running of the making of brown butter that he uses on his brown butter popcorn. So I'm just picturing... like cooking a backstrap of something and like putting in that butter for a while, then like searing it real quick.
Ooh.
Well, Ted, I know you're not in the popcorn biz, but I will say we're actually making caramel here in the background.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, that's a caramelizer. You got the brown sugar is what you're seeing, a little more molasses there.
It was very hypnotizing.
Is it? I figured it would throw you guys. I just, all right, for people listening, I didn't realize you could put videos as your Zoom background. And so I have a bunch of like random popcorn GIFs I've been popping back there.
I do like that. You're not actually in the biz, dude. That's Caramel.
Yeah. It's like clearly a Caramel cook off, but you know, hey, we respect.
Isn't it weird to me? That's my least favorite gourmet popcorn flavor.
No, it's not weird. It's actually, it's kind of the reason gourmet popcorn exists, to be honest with you, because it makes no sense to make it at home. I mean, truly, it is so much work and such a mess that if you're making it at home, you are completely wasting your time and you can't do it well except on the right equipment. But because of that, you know, little gourmet popcorn shops exist all over the U.S. Like I get random inquiries from people wanting, you know, having questions about it all the time. But so that's kind of our bread and butter. But I'm with you. Caramel is amazing. We do a vanilla salted caramel. Come by for free on Sunday, or come by if you want some for free on Sunday. But what I was going to say is it's so sweet that I can only eat a couple handfuls of it. And then I switch over to the brown butter and sea salt, which is my classic. It's like a movie, fancy movie theater popcorn.
Yeah. And look, part of the inspirations for Smith Family Popcorn, my cousin's shop was Fisher's Popcorn on the boardwalks in Maryland and Delaware. And they just sell caramel.
That's it?
That's it. And you
wow,
take
they're
your
leaving
tins.
A lot of money on the table.
They might do more now, but that was, I mean, that's literally in some of those shops, I think were only open in the summers, but like that was a huge part of the inspiration. So you're right. Caramel corn definitely got me into like gourmet popcorn, but well, it doesn't hurt having cousins and a very good friend that both own popcorn shops. So I'm just like, there's so many other flavors.
Well, a lot of them are caramel based and you know, I like a lot of the caramel plus ones.
Oh,
brothers,
yeah.
Boys. We're brothers.
All right. Are we good on emails?
Be Gucci, baby.
All right. Let's check in with what's Matt.
Hey, what's good? What's Matt?
Whoa. Before we get to what's Matt needs.
Hey, what's good? What's Matt?
Whoa. Check out with what's Matt.
Hey, what's good? What's Matt?
Whoa. Before we get to what's Matt needs.
Hey, what's good? What's Matt?
Whoa. Check out with what's
back. So, that's what I wanted to make sure I talked about because it was just funny. Thursday night for the Miami Ole Miss game, we walked down to Buffalo Wild Wings and stretched it for like the duration of the game. So you get like the appetizers, then you get the wings, then we got fries, then we got dessert. We're crushing Heineken Zeros the whole time and like watched all the way to the end of the game. And just it was so fun. It's just such a fun place to be when there's a big game on that, especially like if the Hawks are playing a big game, I just need to be in my own privacy. Like it's just better for everyone. Like I don't need the distractions, but like Miami Ole Miss, Buffalo Wild Wings, sold. Perfect.
Dude, I agree with you. I like watching other big games at bars or like wing plate, you know what I mean? Like you're saying, but you're right. For some reason, if it's like NFL super important Seahawks game, like we got to watch the house, man. Like I'm taking notes.
We got to focus.
We got to focus, right? Like somebody's going to call one of us and be like, what do you think we should do in the second half?
Yeah. On the slant. And so at the end, I knew we were walking back and I wasn't sure if it would, I think technically it wouldn't get me in trouble, but I didn't want to get caught doing it either. But I had I had 3/4 of a beer to finish. So I just walked out with it and started walking up the street to go home because it's like, it's 0%. Who cares? But I still don't know if like B-dubs would be stoked that I walked out of their premises with a glass bottle Heineken 00. Like,
I think you'd probably. Man, I still don't know. I feel like the cop would give you less crap than the workers at a restaurant would.
Right, right. The rule used to be, I was like, once I get out, anyone stops me, it'll just be a funny little thing. Like, I'm not worried about that. But, yeah.
I did think about when we were cruising around in the golf cart, just ripping NA Ultras. Because those cans are hard to tell they're NA.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just fun optics. Like usually when we walk places from our house, I'll walk with the beer. So that's not new, but just I feel like that's like the classic like blacked out guy move that you've just seen bouncers like stop guys. You can't go out with that, you know. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, sure. Sneaking a drink out, walking off into the night, like, totally sober. The guy didn't have a drop of alcohol all night.
Dude, that was a hell of a game, though. I was just watching on the couch, and I was yelling and screaming,
yeah,
cheering for Ole Miss.
Yeah,
and look, I like Miami, but I was just cheering for Ole Miss. But now I'm like, I have no issue with Miami being good.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. And so that was super fun. Friday, I feel like we did something, but I can't really remember. And Saturday, there was some games on. I had work. And then Sunday, there's more games on, but we went up to Joshua Tree at like 2 or so. So we had like some time to kind of wander around a new area that we hadn't been to there. And we met up with one of our old friends from Seattle that was in like bands and stuff and I knew from the scene. And he lives in Phoenix, and he's come out a couple times. We played golf one time, did a hike another time, and I told him on the way out to listen to the Brant Bjork Trio and their album Once Upon a Time in a Desert, because it's just like, it just fits down here. Like, you're on a road trip over from Phoenix, like, pop that on, you'll get it. It makes sense. So that was like months ago, and I saw him, and, you know, then he messaged me, because I saw Brant Bjork Trio was going to be playing at this place called Pappy and Harriet's, and I had already gotten tickets. And then my buddy messages me and is like, dude, I got tickets for that show at Pappy and Harriet's. I'm going to drive out and camp in Joshua Tree, and like, I'll see you there. Yeah. It's my favorite record. Thanks so much for showing me it. You know, and I was like, tight, dude. Hell yeah. So we met up in Joshua Tree, you know, epic sunset, you know, pre-sunset, kind of easy hike. And then we went up to Pappy and Harriet's, which is like this old like Western barbecue joint. Like, the whole town is like a Western themed town called Pioneer Town, which they built for like Hollywood movie sets back in the 50s to film Westerns in. And the industry eventually abandoned it, but they just kind of kept it around. So it's this weird little, you know, 400 person town up in the high desert. And it's got this place, Pappy and Harriet. That's where I saw Slipknot, and Paul McCartney played there before Desert Trip. But like, tiny place for these giant bands, but it's kind of become like a legendary little high desert, you know, gem that people know about. Like, Jason Momoa was just up there the weekend before and stuff. So anyways, we went from Joshua Tree, went up there, got some barbecue for dinner. Brant Bjork crushed it. His bass player was just like on another level. Like, I could tell when the album came out, it was his first album with this new bass player, Mario Lali, and it was like, holy smokes, dude, like, totally different vibe than all Brant's other stuff, which I loved. And so it was great to see it live. My buddy had a great time. Another one of our friends from Seattle came out from LA to see it, but I didn't really get to, you know, I just saw her for a second, but it was just kind of cool having a little mini Seattle reunion for desert rock legends, you know, up in the high desert at Pappy and Harriet. It's a great spot. A lot of fun.
I was looking up while you were talking, we were talking about Miami. Just keep in mind that like that 01 Miami team, right? Like, Andre Johnson at wide receiver. What was I going to say? Tight end is Jeremy Shockey, Kellen Winslow. Who else is on that team? Defense, you have like Ed Reed.
Yeah.
Tailbacks, Clinton Portis, Willis McGahee, Frank Gore. I mean, it's just, I was just looking at the names. I'm just like, unbelievable. Jonathan Vilma's on that team. Sean Taylor's on that team. Antron Roll's on that team. Philip Buchanan's on that team.
Just wow. Like,
holy shit. Was that team good?
All quarterbacked by Ken Dorsey, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Najee Davenport's on that team. Just like,
whoa.
Just goes on and on. Bryant McKinney. Just like, basically, it's the whole team was an offensive starter.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, all right. Well, I guess it is about that time. Boop, boop, boop,
boop, boop. Cobb topic.
Topic. Cobb, that's a great video. I haven't seen that one in years.
Oh, yeah. I found a good background. It's Ted and I at Burning Man at, I want to say, White Ocean when we were watching Major Lazer.
Still probably one of the greatest shows I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah. Dude, he's about to play, you know, my deck, how there's that park across the river. They're playing in like 2 weeks over there.
Nice.
Yeah. Or like 4 weeks. I don't know. All right. 90s nostalgia, obviously coming back. Big theme this year in the, in the design world, in the aesthetic world. So I've been thinking a lot about the 90s. And the cop topic this week is, what's something that used to feel normal, but now feels completely insane? For a little bit of background, we were talking about like how the Waymos are like starting to feel like the new normal in Austin. And so I was like, oh, what's something that like used to feel normal, but now feels completely insane? So feel free to email us, literally the word email at thepodcast.com. We 99% chance we'll read it on the show. I'll be honest with you.
Dude, that's, when you were setting that up, I was ready to just yell, sweater vest. I'm ready for sweater vest to be back. Like, you know, mid-90s, late-90s, Boys to Men. Like, oh, sweater vests were dope.
Dude, you're right. A sweater vest right now is completely insane. That would be such an insane garment to wear. You have one?
I have one. When Rob was working for Abercrombie, he's like, dude, like, we got a new test product. It's too big for me. Do you want it? And I mean, it looks dope, but I just haven't had the balls to wear it out.
Dude, you got to have that dog in you. It's this year, man. Maybe for the Seahawks game. I don't know. Set the tone. It's, dude, here's the thing, man. You know, no need to be a thermometer. You're a thermostat. You set that temp in the room.
Yeah.
Ow. Matt?
Man, yeah, I was just thinking about, and I like them. I miss buttons. I don't like screens on everything, like these new cars and stuff. I think when you're talking about Waymo, like every time I get in a newer car, there's no like buttons for the, there's like, it's, I like having a separate knob for the volume and a separate one for the AC. Now you're like swiping around and stuff. And yeah, it just seems like we've just put screens everywhere, even places where we don't need to, and buttons did a good job back in the day. Buttons and knobs. Yeah.
Dude, I feel like there's going to be a pushback towards analog. Sorry, go ahead, Ted.
Oh, I was going to say, like, just musically wise, do you think people will get back to listening to a whole album again?
Ooh.
Instead of just jumping around, it's so easy to make a playlist.
I don't know, but I will say people are getting back into punk rock here. Like, not pop punk, but like, so I could see it, man. I mean, what's old is new. You know, things come back around. Do you think people will get into listening to an album?
I think so. Like, I've just kind of reached the point now where I'm just tired of, like, and it's great, but it's like, you're just always picking new songs. It's like, we should actually listen to, like, just this album. Take, you know, this artist made it. Let's go on the ride with them.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it is cool that they kind of, like, go together, you know, or take you on a journey.
Yeah, I think some people still like albums, and it could have a comeback, but, you know, it's kind of like maybe in the way that, like, people have vinyl or whatever. Like, I don't think it's going to replace Spotify or what, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, vinyl's having record sales, you know, it's massive, but it's not as massive as Spotify. Like, albums will maybe get the cred they deserve again, but it won't be the primary consumption method, would be my guess.
Man, Spotify got me over Christmas. I got all fired up for this Christmas song. Then I didn't realize it was AI. But it was called The Grinch That Stole All the Bitches. It had like a whole fake background on this guy, and he's a 70s soul singer. And I was all amped up. And then our buddy Jesse was like, dude, this is definitely AI. I was like, God damn it.
Damn it.
Getting out of hand, man.
All right. We'll obviously be back next week. Just first and foremost, go Hawks.
Go Hawks.
Go Hawks. Go Zips.
Go Zips. Go Hawks. Get down to Cobbs. Get you a free bag this weekend. What are you doing with your life? Two free bags. I don't even work there. I'm just promoting it. Get some dogs in you. Be the dog out in the streets. But yeah, go Hawks. Enjoy it. And if you're like me in Seattle, watch out for the traffic, but enjoy the sunshine. For Calm, from CTV of the Ted Smith is the podcast. Cheers.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.